would say that one of your favorite part of Christmas is the decorations. How many would you say? Decorations? I like to look at them. I don't like to put them up. And I certainly don't like to put them up, take them down. What about gifts? How many people like gifts? Come on, don't lie. I like gifts myself. Food. Everybody's going for the food. I mean, we already know. I mean, if you we already know the most important part of Christmas, and that's Christ. Christ must. It just means Christ worship. It's all about worshiping Jesus Christ. He's the most important thing at Christmas. But even though we know that Jesus is the reason, we often miss out on the worship during Christmas season. I think for a couple of reasons as I talk to people. The first one, I believe we're just too busy. We just get really, really busy. I mean, December has to be the busiest month of the year. And, you know, it starts with December 1st, people getting their cards out. Then you know, we're booking parties, we're shopping, it's family, then it's cooking, and then they throw in there the kids are out of school. I mean, why do they do that? I mean, why in the busiest month of the year, why do they let the kids out of school? You know, Angie's not here today, so I can make a move that we leave the kids in school. Oh, teachers need a break too. But you know, the busiest month, huh? Yeah, we have a motion in a second. So, then the second thing is just talking to folks. We don't know how to worship. We just actually don't know how to worship. And honestly, many of you may be just bored. We come and we sit and we hope that something happens and it doesn't. And so nobody really knows how to worship. So what is worship even? I mean, what is it? But do you know what the original word was in worship? It was worth-ship. Worth-ship. It has to do with what you value. And to worship is saying, God, I believe that you're of absolute value. Whatever you think of most. I mean, it could be money, it could be hunting, it could be shopping, your family, or even your spouse. Yesterday, I've got a friend that I called Fred. I sort of halfway laughing about it, but sort of kind of got to me. He's got a Corvette, and I've always wanted a Corvette. Well, he says, I'm going to sell that to you when I get ready to get another one. He says, you don't drive it? I said, no, I don't drive it. He says, no, go ahead and drive it. No, I don't want to drive it. He says, no, just drive it. I said, okay, I'll drive it. So I drove this thing, triple black, 6-speed. I fell down in it with no thought of how to get out. I drove that thing around, had the heads-up display, you know, and I was young again until I went to get out. Then I remembered how old I was. But anyway, I got home. I told Angie, I said, I'm not getting a truck. What are you going to get? I'm getting a vet. I'm going to buy this vet. She said, we don't need no vet. I said, I'm pretty close to needing it. And I said, I ain't getting it yet, but if I go to cleaning out my side of the garage, we're getting a vet. You'll just know what I'm doing. I'm just going to get it. I'm not going to talk to you about it anymore. I'm not going to ask for permission. I'm going to ask for forgiveness once I get it. I said, got to have it. Well, I had to go to Alabama last night. My uncle passed away, and so Angie couldn't go. She just wasn't feeling well. And so I drove her Honda CRV because my truck won't make it to Alabama, I don't think. I'm real not real confident in it. But I drove that Honda CRV all the way over. And from the time I left my house to I got to Collier Butler Funeral Home, in my mind, I was in a Corvette. That CRV had a heads-up display. That automatic was a fake 6-speed. I even had the clutch going on. I thought about that Corvette for an hour and 15 minutes. I pulled up to that thing. I have worshipped a Corvette for an hour and 15 minutes. And it has got me nowhere. I'm still in a Honda CRV. I laughed about it, but then it was kind of, man, Jim, that was on your mind for an hour and a half. And that's all you thought about. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to get one. I'm just not going to try not to think about it so much. But worship is a missing ingredient in a lot of our lives. And it could really add a lot to our lives. I told you guys that I was praying for the magic to come back into my life Christmas this week. I found it in worship. It was the missing ingredient. It could really add a lot to it. And sometimes we don't know how. Or sometimes we just get too busy to worship. So today I want to help you with that, today and next week. You know, I don't want to send you out of here guilty, because guess what? You came here to worship today. So we're not going for that. I just want to send you out of here more knowing, a little more educated on how to worship. So how do we get from where we are to a place of worship? We're going to let about three guys show us how to do it. They're known to us as the three wise men. And they came from a faraway place to find Jesus, to worship him. They're going to show us how to worship. We're going to walk through this story and we're going to follow their directions. We're going to worship together with the first Christians. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. It's kind of long, but I think we ought to read it. At the top of the outline, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they replied. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Well, I want to hear what these wise men say, but also do. There are six parts of worship that we learn from these wise men. We're only going to talk about two of them today. Here's the first one. To worship is we start with a sincere desire. We start with a sincere desire. Because here's the thing, what I found out is if you don't want to worship, you ain't going to worship. You just ain't going to worship. If you don't want to, you're not going to worship. Because worship is not going to bust through the front door of your life. It's just not going to do it. You got to go to his front door like these guys went to meet with him. Matthew 2:1 says, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. The Magi, if you guys didn't know, they were, I guess you could call them like a political advisors. Their expertise was in astronomy, it was in math, it was in history and in religion. I mean, agricultural science. They were the more or less the power behind the power. They were the king makers. And they had heard about a special king that was to be born, and they came to worship him. You know, not just to see him. I mean, because this is a long, expensive journey. So they weren't just curious. They came to worship him. They were hungry to see him. They desired. And so worship starts with wanting and desire. You know, when we talk about food, everybody just went crazy when we said food a while ago. Everybody thinks of that at Christmas. You know, chicken and dressing and red velvet cake, bacon, red velvet cake wrapped in bacon. And everybody thinks of food, and you begin to slobber when you start thinking of some of your Christmas food that you normally eat. But so, and you just begin to want it. Well, how does this work with worship, this want, this desire? How does it work with worship? Because we're not talking about a physical need. We're talking about a spiritual need. And so physical wants are fulfilled in physical ways. Spiritual needs have to be filled in the spiritual way. And that's what worship does. It fulfills a spiritual need. But one of the mistakes that we make, I want you to get this, one of the mistakes that we make is that we have a spiritual need and we try to fulfill it in a physical way. Let me explain myself. You know, but first let me say, well, what is a spiritual need? A spiritual need that I'm talking about is it's when you feel empty inside. Or when you feel lonesome or separate, or when you feel this need for hope inside, or when you feel this need for significance, and your jobs and your relationships, they're just not meeting those needs. Those are all spiritual needs. But many times we try to fill those needs with physical means. We feel empty, so we shop. We feel empty, so we eat more. We feel empty, so we binge on movies. Can you say Hallmark Christmas movies? I'm telling you guys, if you see one, I mean, they show 30 of them a day. Every one of them star the same people. Every one of them have a girl that's been out of town for a while, and now she's come back to work. And some guy that she went with in high school was a dreamboat in high school, and yet he's still single. Or his wife died, and he has a little girl sometimes, played by the same kid. Long story short, it's snowing, and they wind up getting married. Merry Christmas. Can you tell I've seen more than one? But we go on TV binges, just anything like that to meet needs. I just threw that in there. It really didn't have nothing to do with anything. But when we do these things, it puts off the need for a little bit. The food, the shopping, the Hallmark movies and all that. It puts off the need just for a little bit, but it doesn't fulfill it. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't complete it. It just doesn't meet the need. And incidentally, this is where our addictions come from. Trying to fulfill a spiritual need with a physical need. This is where all addictions come from. And it just doesn't work. Because what we really need is worship. What we really need is worship instead of that drink. What we really need is worship instead of that extra donut. We need to worship. And only God can fill those needs of emptiness. Only God can fill those needs of loneliness. Now, spiritual hunger is met by spiritual needs. Amen? I want you to know that. It's met by spiritual needs, not physical needs. And we need to come to God to meet that need. That's where we get it. And so where does this desire come from? For the three wise men, it came from a message that they saw. And they trusted it enough to follow it. And that That message was in a star. It was real. Incidentally, we got the star back up. Y'all seen it? It's absolutely wonderful, and it gives a lot of hope to a lot of people coming up 41. But the wise men were drawn to it, this star, and they knew it was a message of hope. And for us, we could be drawn. I mean, every day, people in 2017, we could be drawn, and we see truth in the Bible. We could be drawn to people that we see. I mean, you see people that have incredible joy and peace and confidence in all kinds of circumstances, and you're drawn to them. You want to come to them. And I would say that, don't be jealous of them. Don't be jealous of them. Go see what's going on with them. Why are they so peaceful? Why are they, you know, they're having all things happening in their life. Be drawn to them. Find out what's going on. And you'll find out that their needs are being met by worship. Worship. And so I want us to, you know, today kind of slow down and think about what this need, and recognize that God is the one that can meet this desire. Whatever your need is, whatever your spiritual need is, God is the one that can meet this desire. And I just want you to kind of, as I'm speaking and as I'm talking, to help you kind of stay awake, just say, God, I need your presence. I need your presence to fulfill my need for connection. God, I need your comfort to fulfill my need for hope. God, I need your strength to fulfill my need for significance. You know, God, I need you more than I realize. I'm trying to fulfill a spiritual need with some bad relationships. God, I need to fill it with you. So I need to come to you to fill that need. I want to connect with you. And through worship, you can see God meeting these needs that you have in new ways. So that's why we start with a sincere desire that worship is connecting with the one who made you. And when you have needs in your life, they can be met by him at a deeper level than you could ever imagine. The second thing is this. Number two, not only start with a sincere desire, but develop an expectant spirit. This is key to worship, is to develop an expectant spirit. Expect Jesus to show up. Expect Jesus to show up. I mean, this is what I'm talking about here is the faith factor. Because what I found out, just like with the text this morning that these parents, Jeff and Missy, got from their kid, their son, he's not a kid, he's a grown man. And I believe it's because we came expecting a blessing this morning. I believe we came because I didn't think that God would answer that quickly. He surprised us. But he can work above our expectations. But come with an expectant spirit. You know, but there's something about your faith, and there's something about your expectations that causes God to work in powerful ways. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. Your faith, your expectations, it causes him to work in powerful, powerful ways. I'm telling you guys, when you expect to meet God in worship, you tend to meet God in worship. When you expect to meet him, you tend to do that. These guys came, these three wise men came, and they expected to meet Jesus. Matthew 2:2 says, that, you know, they get to him and says, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Not if. There wasn't an if. They expected him to be there. No doubt, they expected him to show up. And when they showed up, they expected to find Jesus, and they expected to worship. That was their expectant spirit, their expectations. They didn't have any doubt. So I guess here's what I'm saying. Let's give a few moments every Sunday before you come to worship. We worship here. And give yourself a few minutes and expect Jesus to show up in your life. I want to tell you, just 30 seconds 30 seconds can make all the difference in the world. If you just stop and say and focus and say, Jesus, I expect you to be here. I expect you to be here. Now, most of us is, you know, and I'm going to pick on you a little bit, especially this service. Most of us show up a little late. We rush in. Sometimes we have to park far away because the 9 o'clock service is not let out yet. We ain't got them home. So we rush in, and we got the kids. We've been trying to get the kids ready. I know how that is. You guys didn't raise Luke like I did. We're dropping off our kids, and, you know, we get them in there, and we're getting them ready to go to the kids' church, and then we go find a seat, and we sit down, and all we expect to do is just sit and rest for a while. You're thinking, I don't care how bad the sermon is, I ain't got to deal with my kids for about an hour. And those are the expectations. But what I propose to you is if you raise your expectation that Jesus is here, you will meet him here. You will meet him here. You will see that he has something to say to you. You will see that he cares about you. You will see that God loves you. And there's something about that, that changing your expectation of what is going to happen here, who you're going to see, that it changes everything. Did you know that some of you guys that got here late, in the 9 and the 11 o'clock service, some folks actually get here early. You know what they're doing? They're getting ready to worship. They're listening to the musicians. They're listening to the 9 o'clock band. They're listening to Lee and Natalie and Leanne and Conga Boy practice. Do you know why? Huh? Oh, Conga Man. He'll be all right. He got married, didn't he? So he's responsible now. But anyway, but they're here early trying listening to him. They're getting ready for worship. Can you believe that? Getting early to get ready to worship instead of being rushed? I'm humbled by that, that folks would actually come early. Just, and I'm not, like I said, I don't want you to feel bad about getting here late. I'm just telling you, there's people that get here early just to get ready to worship. Just to get ready to worship. And so there's something about taking a few moments that raises, when you raise your expectations, it changes everything. Now this story, we'll go back to the story. To me, it's interesting when I looked at this story that the different kinds of people in the first Christmas. You know, you got the wise men, and then you got Herod the king, who sees Jesus as a rival, and he's kind of scared that he's going to destroy him. And then you got the religious leaders, you know, who tell them where to find Jesus. They all have different attitudes, and quickly I want to tell you about them. The wise men were expectant. That's what we've been talking about. They expected Jesus to show up. They expected to find him, and he was there. So they were expectant. Now, Herod was resistant. He didn't even want Jesus. He did not want Jesus to show up. He was actually pushing back against it. He wanted to kill him. But the religious leaders, so we got expectant, we got resistant. The religious leaders were indifferent. Did y'all notice that? They were thinking, well, we know it. We got it all memorized. We've heard it all our life. We know the answer. He's in Bethlehem where he's supposed to be. But did you notice something? They didn't show up in Bethlehem. They didn't go with the wise men to Bethlehem. They knew the answers, but they didn't do anything about the answer. They were just indifferent. I got to tell you, after being your pastor for 19 years and kind of having, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, having to read the Bible and study for it every Sunday, I've come to love it. But I've learned something, that God can work better with the expectant and the resistant better than he can the indifferent. And where I get that is when Jesus said he would rather deal with the hot and cold people than the lukewarm. He just soon spit them out of his mouth. You see, the lukewarm people are indifferent. They know the answers, they just don't do nothing about it. He just soon spit them out. And there's something about indifference when it comes to worship that just kills our heart. But you know, if you've been coming to church for any length of time, not this church, but just about any church, it's hard not to become familiar with it. Y'all know what I'm talking about, familiar with the worship. And the religious leaders had become familiar with the truth. That's where they were at. They knew the truth, but it didn't really impact their lives. The fact, sometimes when you worship early on, you get here to North Point and you hear Lee and him sing, and for the first time, you just, it's almost, you know, like heaven opens up, and you just sing. After 6 months, you might be counting the tiles just to stay away. All across, all the way back and forth. You've become just kind of indifferent. You're just trying to stay focused. I want to tell you something. It takes work not to get indifferent. It takes work. It takes work to not get too familiar with it. You and I sometimes have to do something so that we can stay focused. We got to stay expectant. What the wise man did was ask questions. That's how he stayed expectant. He asked questions. And so that tells me that one of the things that you and I can do is to keep asking questions if we want to maintain this expectant spirit. Ask God questions about your life. You know, and then come to worship him. Come to worship him on Sundays. Ask him questions and wait for him to answer in your life. Because the truth of the matter is this. There's some questions in your life that are only going to be answered in worship. Only going to be answered in worship. Questions like, you know, what's God really like? Why is there evil in the world? Why is there this evil happening to me? How am I going to find hope in these circumstances? Now, I could attempt to give you some logical answers to some of these questions, but you need more than that. You need something that's going to go down deep into your soul. And that only happens in worship. It only happens in worship. There's something that happens during worship that just goes deep. So you and me need worship. So in closing, I want to tell you, what question do you need to ask God right now? I'd really like for you to write that down so you can ask him. What do you need to ask God right now? Is it a why question? Is it a what question? Is it a when? How? Where? What is it that you need to ask God right now? But I guarantee you, over time in your worship, you're going to become confident. And you will receive his answer. If you come with an expectant spirit, you will get it. About 4 years ago, some of you know this, I don't know if some of you don't, but we came to the Forge one Tuesday night. Luke and I did. I was tickled he came with me, you know, not many 16-year-old boys want to hang out with their nerdy dad. He might have just been 15. I can't remember. It was somewhere around there. He's 20 now. But we was I had prayed several months before. I'm driven by some bad things sometimes too. I have a problem with wanting to please people. but I also have a problem being driven by accomplishment too. So I had reached a point about 5 or 6 years ago, God, am I pleasing you? Am I pleasing you? And so I remember writing it in my journal, you know, I need to know I'm pleasing you, God. And I'd forgotten about it. Well, I got here that night and we were sitting there where the baby carrier was, me and Luke was, and I said, God, I said, I need you to, I'm asking you, I'm begging you to show up in Luke's life in a supernatural way tonight. I'm asking you to have an encounter with, I don't ask for that much, but I was wanting it bad. I desired it bad for God to show up in Luke's life. And that night, well, as they began to sing and we began to worship, all of a sudden I was took to another place. I was there, but this is going to sound real hoodoo to a lot of you guys, but I really don't care. And you'll see why in a minute. I'm standing there, and then all of a sudden this vision comes across my face, and I'm in a different world. And the best I can tell is I'm assuming that it was like I was on a street, and I believe it was heaven. And I'm just standing there, and it was like a parade coming by. And then all of a sudden, this is going to get crazy here. All of a sudden, this face just went, poosh, and it was big. And it was like coming out of that, well, the tree wasn't there, but it was coming out right there. And he said, I am pleased with you. I am pleased with you. And then the face withdrew. And I assumed that that was Jesus. And it was incredible. I felt so confident. Now you know why I don't care. If the creator of the universe tells me that he's pleased with me, I don't care what you think. He's pleased with me. Well, I was overcome, and I just couldn't hard time. And I thought, man, I was praying for Luke, and I got blessed. I had forgot that I had asked this question to him several months before. So we got in a car and was leaving. We didn't get to the second bump. Luke begins to cry. I said, what's wrong with you, boy? He said, didn't you see her? I said, what are you talking about? He said, over there by that speaker. I said, what are you talking about, son? What are you talking about? He said, Nanny Cheryl was standing there. She was dancing. She was dancing, Dad. She told me everything was all right. You see, he did. I asked God to show up in a supernatural way. Whatever was bugging Luke, I didn't know that was because he don't talk much. But he showed up. And he gave Luke a vision too, just like me. Come with an expectant spirit. You don't see miracles, maybe it's because you don't believe them. You don't see visions, maybe it's because you don't believe them. I believe. I believe. Come with a desire to worship. Come with an expectant spirit. Let's pray. My Lord, it's Christmas. You gave the magic back to me this week. As I changed my desire and my expectant spirit, and I made some decisions that I would choose to remember and to believe.